You know, Edgar, another of my favorites on your show this year is your Meet the People department. I'll never forget that wonderful interview you had with that lady bird watcher, Mrs. Grace Harvard Phillips.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Phillips. You know, I've always had a curiosity about bird watching, so now that you're here, I expect to get straightened out on this subject of birds.
Don't look on me as an authority. I have a lot to learn about birds yet. There are many gaps in my knowledge.
Well, you're president of the Los Angeles Audubon Society, aren't you, Mrs. Phillips?
Yes, but I'm still learning. And besides, I've been a member only 4 years, and I got my first assignment when I was on the second trip that I took with the society.
I see. Well, then they must have recognized your leadership and your qualities as a leader of the Audubon Society right away.
I'm not so sure. You see, I took a nap after lunch, and when I woke up, I found they had made me a chairman during my absence.
I see. Well, which probably points to this moral, and never sleep on picnics.
Yes, I've learned since. No good birder ever sleeps on a field trip.
Yes. And what exactly is a birder?
A birder is Audubon Society jargon for a bird watcher.
I see. Ah, yes. And what does a birder do when he's watching birds? I mean, what is the procedure?
Well, we get up early in the morning, like a hunter does, but instead of taking out a gun, we take out binoculars or a telescope or a camera and, of course, a thermos of hot coffee to help wake us up.
Ah, that was what you forgot the day you became a chairman of the board. The hot coffee. Now, what is the largest bird count you ever made?
We once counted 50,000 wild geese in one migration when they came down to rest on Salton Sea.
I see. Well, then you're the one who has the answer to where the wild goose goes.
Yes, but you can always say boo to a goose, you know.
I see. Well, I've never booed a goose. Now, Mrs. Phillips, to the bird watcher, do you have to be able to imitate calls, too?
Well, we don't have to, but expert birders do learn. They practice a lot, and they learn to give lifelike imitations of birds. But others of us carry a little whistle called the Audubon Bird Call. Would you like to hear it?
I would like a short solo, yes. It sounds a little bit like a yellow-breasted sap seersucker. No. Well, and yet it has some of the earmarks of a emerald-throated dowager. Well, yes.
Well, then you do it.
Yeah, I will do it. All right. Oh. That got a little bit wet, but that gives you the idea of it.
Well, now you come out with us next time.
Yes, I would like to do that. Yes. Now, do these imitations, these bird calls, do they actually work? You fool the birds, do you think?
It seems to, but frankly, I think it's more to satisfy the birder, his own idea of what the birds respond to. I believe the birds come out from curiosity.
I guess once in a while the birds and bees get curious about what people are doing. What about some of the cries made by the birds themselves? Suppose you can show us some of those sounds of the birds.
I can try, but I'm not very good at it.
Well,
the chickadee. Tick, 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 tick.
Mm-hmm. Well?
And then there's the mockingbird who seems to say words or syllables. Curity, 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 curity. Peter, 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 Peter.
He never got as far as Pumpkin Eater, though. Well.
Then there's the loon.
The loon, yes.
A water bird.
How does the loon go?
And he has a crazy laugh.
Yeah?
I don't know that I can do it.
Oh, we can
try. Ah, woo-hoo.
There's our answer. We're going to get a half a dozen loons for our audience out here.
I think we have one back there someplace. Who are you out there? You've got a bird watcher out here.
Oh, well, I think I can see where you have a lot of fun with bird watching. Now, let's see. Is there any other bird there that you run into around here that you imitate?
The killdeer flies over. The killdeer has a plaintive sort of call. It sounds like a killdeer, 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 killdeer. And
killdeer, 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 killdeer. I think maybe I could get him.
Yes, but you...
Killdeer.
And then the goat sucker.
The goat sucker, yes. Could you give us a smattering of that?
He belongs to the whippoorwill family.
I see.
But out here on the coast, he drops the whip.
Yeah.
And has just the poor will.
Yeah.
And he's a night bird, comes out at night, and he says, poor will, poor will, poor will, poor will, poor will, poor will.
Probably just paid his income tax, yeah. I think I've run into him going home some night. Well, poor will, poor will. I think, getting out close to nature, out in the woods and in the countryside, I think it is a very nice way to spend a day. And I want to thank you, Mrs. Grace Harvard Phillips, for being our guest this evening and giving us some of the inside information and the humorous side on bird watching. I want to thank you and wish you a very good night. And I'd like to visit one of these bird watching doings one day.
Good night, Mr. Bird.
Thank you.
At long last, there's a smoother taste in smoking. It's the Viceroy taste.
Smoother, 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 Viceroy.
Smoother taste, 'cause Viceroy has twice as many filters as the other two leading filter cigarettes.
Yes, Viceroy is the answer to America's question, which cigarette gives me the smoothest taste? Viceroy, it is the smoother smoke, never, never rough. Here's the reason. Only the Viceroy tip has 20,000 filters made from pure cellulose. Soft, snow white, natural. That's twice as many filters in every Viceroy tip as the other two largest selling filter brands. The result? The Viceroy taste is never rough. Never, no, never rough. It's the smoother taste in smoking.
A smoother taste, 'cause Viceroy has twice as many filters as the other two leading filter cigarettes.
Smoke smoother, Viceroy.
You know, Nelson, we've relived some wonderful highlights, but there's one show I imagine you were too modest to include because you were the guest.
Oh, you mean when he played the Northwest Mountie in the Southeast Africa? Yeah.
Oh, no, not that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we've still got the sketch, so come on, let's do it, Nelson.
The scene opens as the Mounties ride deeper and deeper into this African-type jungle.
I'm worried, Monty McCarthy. We've been riding our horses deeper and deeper into this African-type jungle. I'm afraid we're lost.
Not lost yet, Mounty Nelson. Tell me, does the sun rise in the west and set in the east?
Why, no.
Well, then I've come to one conclusion. I'm facing the wrong way on my horse.
Oh, so that's it. I thought someone had shot the horse's head off. Say, there comes Mounty Noble riding up.
Oh, they're dying like flies. They're dying like flies.
Who?
The flies, old boy.
You're through, Mounty Noble. Turn in your crazy red coat.
Well, it's just as well. This jungle's too dangerous.
Yeah.
Just a while ago, a big lion was chasing me and clawing at my pants.
Oh.
A lion clawing at your pants?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
Well, I turned to him and I said, look here, old boy, if you're getting in, I'm getting out.
Ha, 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 ha,
Mounty McCarthy, we're losing men too fast. What happened to Bergen?
Oh, you mean Mounty Baldy? The crocodiles got him.
Oh, we'll never get out of here alive. I don't want to die. I'm too young to die. Too young to die.
We're nice. We'll let him get away with that. Have the courage, Mounty Nelson. Get a grip on yourself.
But I'm half mad with fear. How can I get a grip on myself?
Well, make it a half Nelson. We have to push on and get our man. Ooh, a snake just wrapped itself around my neck.
Is it a boa?
At a time like this, I don't think its sex is important.
McCarthy, I'd better give you shots to prevent the jungle diseases.
Yeah.
Roll up your sleeve.
Right, Mountie Nelson.
Malaria? Typhoid? Beriberi.
That's in case I get bitten by a teetsy-teetsy.
To keep you going, I think I'll sing.
Couldn't I just have some more shots instead?
Onga bonga wonga, bonga wonga woo.
Oh, that's beautiful. What is that, Mounty Nelson?
It's an old Ubangi love song. It was first sung by a chieftain locked in jail. He sang it to his Ubangi sweetheart who was waiting outside. Slip me those lips under the door. One long, long kiss. I'll ask for no more. Slip me those lips that hang to your hips.
Well, folks, the big political conventions are approaching, and this year, those CBS television cameras and radio mics will be bringing you the most complete coverage ever. Now, to make sure you see and hear it all, and see and hear it right, the set-making division of the Columbia Broadcasting System is offering the wonderful convention broadcast special. Tell the folks about it, John.
Just listen to this. For a limited time only, you'll get a beautiful CBS radio absolutely free when you buy a new CBS TV set. With the handsome CBS TV consoles offered by your dealer, you get a 3750 CBS clock radio at no extra cost. Or choose from his selection of CBS table model TV sets and get a powerful CBS table radio free. Remember, even without the free radios, these 1956 CBS TV sets are wonderful values. They're the only sets ever built with all nine of TV's most wanted advances. Great advances like automatic CBS robot tuning, step-saving CBS remote control, and many more. So get set up right to see and hear the drama of election year. Visit your CBS TV set dealer soon. And now here is Edgar Bergen.
Thank you, Nelson Eddy, for coming over and helping us celebrate our 20th anniversary in such a memorable fashion. Right now, I'd like to thank everyone who has helped to make our 20 years in radio such a delightful experience for us. Charlie, Mortimer, and Effie join us all in hoping we can be with you for many more years. So until next Sunday, then, good night.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Rudy Whistler, Dave Barry, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose, Zeno Klinker, and Hilda Black. This is John Heaston speaking.